Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a podcast where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies, expressive therapies, and creative approaches to therapy. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in today. Today's episode is with Rachel C., who is a board-certified music therapist, and she is the creator of music therapy ebooks. Rachel dives into so many awesome topics in this episode. She talks about her journey to becoming a music therapist, which is a little bit different than the traditional trajectory to becoming a music therapist. And she has a really unique perspective about collaborating and interdisciplinary treatment. She dives into some really, really cool stuff about how she does co-treating and collaboration with parents, other therapists, and she has so many great ideas on that in this episode that I feel like I'm going to go and apply immediately on Monday. And she dives into also the creation of music therapy ebooks, and not only just the awesomeness that music therapy ebooks is, she also goes into her whole mission that is almost, you can just feel it in this episode because she's so passionate about creating a platform for music therapists to share their creativity and to even be creative within the process of writing an ebook. It's so accessible and so doable for anybody within, whether you're a student, an intern, a young professional, seasoned professional. And I think Rachel really just speaks on it so well that everybody has something to offer and somebody else needs to hear it. So there is a free download in this in the show notes today about it's Rachel's ebook. It's How to Write an ebook. So do not forget to check out the show notes for today's episode. Again, thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in today, and enjoy the episode. Okay, Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time out of your day to talk with us. It's really exciting.
This will be fun.
Yes, I'm super pumped. For our listeners, can you tell them what you currently do in your practice, in your side gigs? Kind of give us an overview of what you do.
Yeah, so I am a board-certified music therapist in the public schools here in St. Louis County in Missouri. And I basically have about 35 students on my caseload, ranging from kindergarten to 21 years old. So it's a nice wide variety. And yeah, so that's my day job. I work the school hours, get summers off, which is always a nice perk. And
yes. So then,
I know, I love it so much. And I really love what I do because there's, like I said, there's the variety of students. But then another aspect of my job is that I work with 13 full-time music therapists. It was just like, it's mind-blowing. Anytime I tell another music therapist that I get 13 like full-time colleagues, it's pretty incredible to see the reaction because it seems like a rarity, especially, I mean, in any system, but in the schools, it's great because we have meetings about once a week and we collaborate and we can do recordings with each other.
Wow.
It's like a dream job.
Yes. Yeah. I would just want to be like a fly on the wall of the creativity that happens when a beehive.
Exactly. Having all these different backgrounds and approaches to music. And then when it comes to recording things, like you have all these great musicians that are like really accomplished singers or play guitar really well, or like I'm a violinist, and, you know, you have like this jam band.
Yes. It's like built in where you're I have an idea for a song, but I need this. Like someone will probably play it.
Exactly. Someone probably can play it. So, that's a really fun aspect of my job is that we're all kind of doing our own caseload and we have all of our own schools. I have about 10 different schools that I drive to. But then we all meet up the whole, therapy department about once a month and awesome. Talk about songs and other professional goals and that kind of thing. But it's a really cool setup.
That's amazing. I don't think I've ever heard of that many music therapists. Yeah. Especially in a school, like within the school system like that.
Exactly. So it's kind of, it's a unique school system. It's called the special school district. Mm-hmm. And then the actual special school district contracts with the other school districts within St. Louis County. So it's the entire county that's going through this one system, this mm-hmm. one district, and it has its own tax base. And so yeah, it's a cool program.
Yes. Sure. That's awesome. Oh my yeah. gosh. Yes. And what a great support for the kids that need it, you know, to have yes. all of that. It's right there.
Exactly. It's right yeah. there. And then, then there's some great collaboration that's going on too. So yeah, it's a neat little pod.
Totally. Yes. Yeah. So for you, have you always known that you wanted to work with that population in schools, or was there a period where you kind of experimented with different populations, and how did that come about?
Right. So, well, I'll take it back to undergrad. Mm-hmm. We'll go yes. way back. Yes. Circa 2002.
I wanted to ask about your undergrad degree too, because it's yeah. such a cool multidisciplinary piece as well. So right. yes, let's go there.
Let's do it. So yeah, like I went to undergrad, and I really thought I wanted to be either an elementary education teacher or a speech language pathologist, because I really wanted to work with kids and I really wanted a helping profession. And then wrapped up in that is, you know, I played violin and piano. My mom was a piano teacher, so I had to do that. I'm really grateful I did. But I've been playing since, you know, I was like 5 years old. So that was always a part of my life, but I never really wanted to be a, you know, professional musician. I just really loved playing orchestra. I really loved playing the instruments, but it's like, okay, let's do elementary ed or SLP, that kind of thing. And then, so I was doing all the credits for the master's in education at the same time doing all the credits for the speech language pathology undergrad communication disorders. I always think it's ironic when I mess up saying communication, like communication disorders. Okay. And then, but then I was also on music scholarship, just doing orchestra and violin lessons. And it wasn't until about my senior year when I found out about music therapy. And I was like, oh no, this is it. This is what I
want. What do I do now?
This is everything I've ever wanted wrapped up into one. And so I'm from Iowa, and I contacted the University of Iowa about their equivalency and master's program. And thankfully, like this is like last minute, they had someone cancel and they weren't gonna be able to do the program. And so I was able to like apply and swoop in, and like I got in, and it was just kind of like, this is incredible. Like I get goosebumps even thinking about it now. Like, yes. I can't believe like it actually worked out that I was able to start in August after I graduated with undergrad with this equivalency and master's. But then my equivalency took a little bit longer because I didn't have an undergrad in music. I had the scholarship and the credits for that. But, yes. So I had to do another 5 years of school. So I always think like after 9 years of school, like I was like, should I be a doctor at this point? Like,
I should be making millions.
Exactly. This is a lot of school. But so grateful I did. So then after I did my internship down in Austin, Texas at the state hospital there. And then right after that, I started a private practice. Mm-hmm. So I got up to about three subcontractors and myself, and I loved it. I loved being my own boss, and I really loved like the variety that comes with private practice.
Yeah.
I really, really did love that. And then I just got this itch, like I kind of wanted to go back to the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go home. And then like I met this guy who's now my husband. Yay. And he was from St. Louis. And
so meant to be.
Yeah. So it all worked out. I ended up, you know, coming here, and then now I have this like perfect mesh of like I get to work with kids, I'm doing music therapy, but it's also way less stressful than a private practice. You know, yeah. even though you give up a lot of independence, it's, you have benefits and you have sick leave, which I never had before. Mm-hmm. And I think I never regret having a private practice because that was awesome. And yeah. I think it was the perfect time because I had so much energy. And now it's a perfect time I have this job because I don't have as much energy. And it's like, okay, it's nice. I can kind of clock out and yes. I go home and I get to like refresh and rejuvenate. And then you know, also when I was doing the private practice, I did a couple other businesses. So I did music therapy mailings. So that was like a package I would send to people every month with like session ideas and laminated materials and things like that. Uh-huh. And then I did this thing called Inspiration Kit, which is another monthly thing that I would send digitally to people. Oh, and then I started music therapy ebooks. And yeah, so I was like doing all these things all at once with the private practice, and I had the energy to do it. And I was so glad I did it then. Yes. And then I moved here and I was like, okay, let's just work with the full-time job. And then I pared everything down to just music therapy ebooks as my side job, which I really love doing as well.
Yes.
The long story, like how I got here, but that's, it's been a process and a journey, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's so awesome to hear your perspective and how not only being like you went from private practice to now a full-time job where you can, like you were saying, you can clock in and you can clock out and then you can leave right. it, but you still also have this side kind of thing too.
Yes.
And I feel like a lot of people have done either one or the other. So like, it's really cool to hear your perspective on getting on the benefits of both, you know, and how yeah. they fit at different times in your life.
Because they both feed a different need of mine too. Because having that full-time job in the schools is like just very fulfilling in the way of like, this is how I'm using my degree and helping others, and they're giving so much back to me, and you know, just that rapport and working with the kids. But then I'm such an introvert too. Introvert combined with like, I really love creating things. Yep. And so having something related to my field that I'm so passionate about, but also something I can do on the computer, and like so that kind of appeals to the introvert side of me, but also it's still creative. Like I'm still actively creating the websites and doing newsletters and social media and that kind of thing, but it also gives me that sense of community of connecting to all these music therapists across the world, because there's so many folks that visit the site that not just within the US, but across the world. So it's kind of this, I don't know, it's a really nice fit into my passion for work, but it doesn't feel like work, if that makes
yes,
sense.
Absolutely.
And it feeds this like this creativity part that I'm doing, you know, in my sessions in the schools, I'm creating the songs and that kind of thing. But this is just tapping into just another little aspect of the creative side that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah. And that you like, sometimes I think depending on our job, like you can't get all of those things fed there, you know, feeding right. the need. I kind of like that as a quote. It's like yeah. feeding the need. But like that, you know, like your design and, you know, like you also are very like visually talented, you know, in that aspect. So like, then you have this other side thing where it's like, oh, I can still get all of that stuff somewhere else. And I think sometimes too, it's hard to think of getting one job that can feed all of those
yes.
things. And maybe it's impossible, you know, that we have to have kind of these other side things to fulfill all of that creativity.
Exactly. And some people, yeah. I know I have good friends who you have other, you know, hobbies outside of music therapy. And I think that's really important too. But for me, it just happened to be my hobby really fed well into music therapy too, you know? So like,
yes.
like you said, I do like doing the visuals and the website creation, and that stuff stimulates me, to do that. But like, yeah, just having something else outside of work, that taps into whatever, yeah, little thing that might be missing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Totally. Totally. I love that. So let's dive into music therapy ebooks. How did sure. that, you know, we've heard a little bit about it, and can you tell us like, was there a spark moment, or did it kind of build off of those other ideas that you were having? How did the origin story, how did it come about?
Yeah. So it was, so when I was doing my internship, and in between that and starting a private practice, I think that, well, after doing the 9 years of school, like you get so built up with these ideas and you're so anxious to actually get out in the field mm-hmm. that it's a really inspiring time, because you just like, okay, I'm ready to do this. Like, let's hit the ground running. And then when you hit the ground running and you don't have any like clients or students, like, you're like, okay, what do I do with all this energy and yes. time? And how can I still have it relate to music therapy? So after my internship, I was just like, I have all these songs that I've created, you know, for different groups and students. And I thought, and at the time, I mean, it was like, 2011. And there were a lot of eBooks popping up everywhere. I was like, well, I wonder if maybe I should just make like a songbook, and then other people could use it. And then you kind of, you have this sense of doubt, I think, as a newly graduated student or someone coming right out of internship. You're like, well, what do I know? Like, I haven't been practicing. Like,
imposter syndrome.
Exactly. Yep. Imposter syndrome. And you're like, what do I know? Like, you know, all these other people are so more experienced than I am. And then I thought, no, like, these interventions work. And I would want somebody else to make a songbook that I would be inspired by, you know, or I could use in my sessions. I love to hear what other people's ideas are. And I think everyone has a very unique experience. Everyone is has their own path as a music therapist, has created their own songs. And I think, no, like, I want to hear what other people have to say. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll share what I have, and then they can share what they have. And so I did package it up as an ebook. And I just sold it on my private practice website that I was creating. Mm-hmm. And it actually sold well, and it got good feedback. And I was like, oh, this is fun. You know, like, and so then a speech language pathologist had actually bought my ebook, and she contacted me. I know. And it was like, I love collaboration so yes. much, especially, yes. you know, with SLPs and other related service professionals. So she contacted me. She's like, I really like your ebook, and I think we could collaborate with something together. And I was like, yes, please.
Sign me up now.
So then we collaborated and created the Listen, Sing, and Speak ebook.
Yeah.
And so I had those two ebooks on going. And then everything like kind of went on the back burner, because then my private practice was picking up, and those were just available to sell or for people to buy. And then kind of down the road, I realized kind of what I was saying earlier, that I wanted to encourage other people to share their ideas. And the great thing about an ebook is, like, it's basically a PDF, right? Like, it doesn't have any startup costs. It is like, you can make it in Word, you can make it in Pages. If you have a Mac, you can make it on PowerPoint, like anything that you can make into a PDF. And you do that initial work the one time, and then it's done. Like, you don't even have to touch it again.
Yes.
So it was kind of in the midst of doing the music therapy mailings and the inspiration kit, which I was coming up with new ideas every single month. And I was like, uh-oh, someone's going to get burned out quick, like, if I'm having to do this. And, so I was like, oh, you know, those ebooks that had all the ideas, you know, all my session ideas and all these songs, but I'm not having to come up with new stuff each time. Like, it's just kind of sitting there on the internet for people to check out. And so I thought, well, this is something that anyone can do. Like, anyone can make a PDF. Anyone can share their ideas. And so that's kind of when the wheel started turning. I was like, oh, what if I just created a platform for anyone to be able to put their ebooks up there and have kind of like a little library for people to browse. And so I kind of threw the idea out there, like, I think it was like on Twitter or something, you know, what about just kind of get some feedback, you know, if anybody would be interested. And so then there was another music therapist at the time, Michelle Erfurt. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, if you need a business partner, I can absolutely help, you know, get the stuff going, and we can kind of create the business together. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. So she was on board. We were business partners for about 5 years.
Cool.
And, you know, and then she had another job and family and
yes,
all that. And yes. I totally understand that. But, so then we opened up the website in 2014. So we've been open for about 6 years. And, so then it was a matter of contacting people who already had ebooks. The one that like really influenced me when I was first starting my private practice was, Kimberly Sinemore's private practice ebook.
Yes.
Yeah, The Blueprint.
So good. I love that one.
So good. Like, I just ate it up, and I was like, this is super helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's not super expensive, because when you're starting a private practice, you have no money. And mm-hmm. And so it was super affordable because it was online, you know, it wasn't a printed copy. And so then I contacted her, and I think Michelle contacted Rachel Rambach, and we talked to Joanne Jordan and these other people who had a few eBooks, and were like, would you be interested in, you know, joining this community? And we have this online store essentially for eBooks. And so they hopped on, and then now we have, I just looked the other day, I was like 24 authors and like, 40 something eBooks.
So
and
cool.
It's so fun to see just one, just like the creativity involved in all that. And people like their eBooks look like a variety of things, you know, like we have the private practice things, and then we have, you know, for mental health and for memory care, and we have, you know, for businesses. And so it's neat to see the variety, because the music therapy, our profession, is so diverse.
Yes.
And we are working with so many different populations, so I feel like the possibilities are endless for eBooks. But yeah, so now we have in for adaptive lessons and that kind of thing. So it's just nice to see like, oh, it's just growing, and the access to these materials is becoming more available to folks. Mm-hmm. And then inspiring other people to write eBooks, which is the whole reason why I wanted to do it, is just to make sure people knew that they had something valuable to share, and that, yes, like people are hungry for that. And you know, when you go to conferences, I feel like the most crowded rooms are the ones that are offering intervention ideas and app ideas and things you can actually use the next day in your session. So mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is nice to have this online place where people can go for these ideas. And
yes. Yeah. And I think the other thing that's so accessible about the eBooks is they're less intimidating than like buying a giant textbook that is, you know, it's like, oh man, do I have time to read 300 pages? I want to.
Yes.
But these eBooks are like, they're, you know, sometimes they're 20 pages and sometimes they're bigger, but they're so quick to like integrate and then push right back out, like you were saying, into your session the next day.
Exactly. And some of them have audio files, you know, attached, and so that we live in such a digital age, it's really nice just to, okay, I'm going to buy this on my computer and like download it in 2 seconds and it's available. I can access it on my iPad if there are visuals that come with it, or I can, you know, see it on my phone and that kind of thing. So that's really nice. And like you said, because it is like it could be 20 pages or, you know, more or less. It's not super intimidating to like go through it. So
yeah.
It's really fun to see.
And I think for people, I know I'm like this where I get like inspiration and then I want to like go. It's like, I can buy it and I'll have it right away. You know, like when I'm in that space of like, it's instant, you know, which is instant gratification, but at the same time, it's like, I can maximize on that motivation.
And then I think just once you get that going too, like, just reading other people's ideas or hearing other people's interventions, like, and then it makes you be like, oh, I can adapt it this way. I can make my own. It just gives you that little spark that sometimes when you're doing the same songs over and over, or you're like, you kind of get in a rut or you're feeling burnout. Mm. Like, yeah, you may not necessarily use their song like word for word, but it might inspire you to create a song similar to that, or just kind of get the juices flowing kind of that way. Just like, okay, let's get some brainstorming going here.
Yeah, getting the juices flowing. I feel like that's exactly, I was just talking with Music Therapy Made Simple.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the same thing of like, it's for inspiration, you know, like these things, like it's not like you don't have to take it and use it exactly, but like bring your own creativity to the table, because we're all in this profession because we're creative in some way. And those are such great platforms where you're like, yes, I can take this, and then it'll just start those ideas and, you know, get the juices flowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Music therapists are the king of adapting and making it work for them, like for their groups and their clients and their students. So yeah, it's super fun just to see. And I love that the Music Therapy Made Simple, like great ideas. And again, like another place to go for online materials. Like that's a great idea. And there's the other one, the Music Therapy Exchange.
I just heard. I'm so excited about that. Yeah.
And like these websites like make me so happy that like, I feel like we're all kind of having this community online, of sharing ideas and not feeling alone, you know, and yeah. just knowing that like there are these resources out there, mm-hmm. and then empowering other people to create those resources.
Yes. And I think this is on your site of, it might've been one of your blog posts of like why you should write an ebook. Mm. And I think that serves that like helping that imposter syndrome, but like you're saying that music therapy is so incredibly diverse. Like we can't learn it all in school. We can't even learn it all going to conference every year. Like there has to be these other resources for the in-between to support all of this stuff. And I feel like that blog post was just one of those things of like, you do have something and everybody has their own unique approach to speak on.
Yes. Yeah. We all have these different, you know, backgrounds, diverse backgrounds and, you know, like different undergrads even, you know, and different internships and how could we be expected to absorb all this information, you know, in just either a 4-year undergrad or equivalency or anything like that. Like it's, and especially for people who don't have colleagues that they can bounce ideas off of or collaborate with, you know, and so, just to know that you work in a, your job and you are creating materials and those materials are valuable. You take data, you see that they work. And so just making sure you tell yourself like, oh yeah, no, I have value and I think other people might want to hear what I have to say. And I think, even if you're coming right out of internship, like, even if you're still a student, you have something valuable to share. And I really want to, like, that's why I have ebooks, you know, that's why I have music therapy ebooks. It's just, you can share something with the world and people benefit from it. And guess what? Yes. Like when the therapists benefit from it, you're also helping their clients and their students and the people that they work with. And it's just kind of, we're all in this together to help other people. And it's a really neat thing to see.
And it's so cool because it is like that, you know, it's that ripple effect where it just continues to help other people. And it's like a legacy too of like you were saying earlier, it's something that's done and you don't have to go back to it, but it's like, it's out there forever, you know? Yeah. And it's this great thing that who knows in 10 years, who's going to really need that. And it's going to like, you know, just save their day.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a great thing. And then like you said, it's up there forever. And so I've had the two ebooks up since 2012, and it's been really cool to see the feedback from those and then just to future collaborations that have spawned from that. And like I said, I made it once, like back in 2011, 2012, and I haven't touched it since, but it continues to be out there and for other people to use. And then,
Yes. So on those first two that you made, the second one with the speech language, it was with a speech language pathologist, correct?
Yes.
So what was that process like? Because I feel like interdisciplinary treatment is something that, you know, as music therapists, we're working on all these goals. As creative arts therapists, a lot of times we're working on the non-creative goal, although that is a really great benefit. But what has that process been like for you, you know, collaborating, whether it's with the book or whether it's real time in your sessions?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is my favorite topic of all.
Me too.
Collaboration, because that's how we're going to help our students and our clients is through, if they can do it in our music therapy session, like that's awesome. But how do we get it outside of that space, outside of that 30-minute session that we did? How do we make sure we transfer and generalize those skills? It's through collaboration. It's through the whole, in the schools, you know, the whole IEP team. And that's ranging from the teachers to the parents, you know, to the all the related services. And like, how can we generalize these skills? And I'll get back to the ebook in a second, but now that I'm on this collaboration.
Let's go.
I do feel like with collaboration, you know, we all have to respect our scope of practice and our ethics and making sure we're not crossing boundaries. Like that's super important. But when, I think it was about in 2016, our school started using Google for like email and that kind of thing. And I got to thinking like, oh, with Google comes Google Drive. And if it's operated by the schools, then it's, you know, HIPAA
compliant. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, how can I use this? You know, because people aren't using CDs anymore. People, I mean, you give like flash drives to people, but who knows, you know, those get lost and that kind of thing. And so I was like, oh, I made a Google Drive folder for each of my students. And then all the songs that I was recording in the session, you know, with the student, with parent permission, of course, I would put up in that folder. And all the videos I create or the songs I've recorded, I put it in their folder, like anything that was related to their goals. And then I'd share these Google Drive folders with the parent, with the teacher, with the SLP, with the OT, and they could use it wherever, you know, they could use it in the classroom, they could use it in their sessions. And that just to have that, like, seemed like crossing, like creating this bridge that was a little disjointed before. Mm-hmm. And now it's like a perfect, beautiful bridge you can drive on. Like, it just opened up this line of communication too, because everybody's so busy. Mm-hmm. That's the hard thing about collaboration. It's like, okay, I would love to collaborate, but who has the time?
Yes.
And it's hard, you know, in between sessions, you know, talking to the teacher, they might be in a meeting, they're teaching, that kind of thing. But having the Google Drive, like, available, and I'm just popping in these materials and like, and then explaining how to use them and how we were working with them in the session, having like the visuals to go with it that they can just easily access. I've noticed significant progress in my students when we're all using the same materials, and then and vice versa, they can send me materials that they've been using and put it in that Google Drive. And then the parents, I've had parents use the songs at home and like record them at home and show me that they're working on these songs at home. Because sometimes parents they're like, oh, I can't sing or I don't want to sing. Uh-huh. I was like, well, here, you can use these recordings and use it at home. So I've just found that like having that was awesome. And then it's opened up, like, so then the SLP or the OT might approach me and be like, I have this, you know, shoe tying thing that, you know, is there a way you can create a song for this? And we can work on it together. And so then, because they're, you know, they know how to, they know the process or the steps that work best, mm-hmm. For that student and that goal, because that's their wheelhouse. And so then I can bring in my expertise as a musician and know, like, okay, if they're taking a long time to like loop this, like how can I make that a musical loop, or like how can, yes, you know, like, and then totally. We just collaborate together, and that also helps with like sparking that creativity too. And it's, you don't feel like it's, you're all on your own. You're like, oh, I'm a part of this team that, mm-hmm. I don't know, we can create these songs together, and it's so fun to do. And so then, yeah, so when I was working on the ebook with the speech language pathologist, it was nice do have the background of the undergrad and communication disorders. Yeah. But also like to have her expertise as an actual SLP. Mm-hmm. And then we would talk about, okay, what goal areas do we want to talk about? How could that be conducive to music? And so she would kind of come up with a few songs of her own, actually. Cool. And so she was kind of, yeah, she's like, I really like doing music too. And so then we can kind of like, okay, here's our goal and our target areas. Okay, we can each come up with a song that addresses that, and then kind of work together and collaborate that way. And then she was kind of doing some of her own songs. I was doing kind of some of my own songs. and then we just really edited each other's stuff. Like, it was really an open book. Like, I would send her my things, she sent her hers. And then we thought, okay, yeah, this is great. And then you make the flow of the book, and how are we gonna, yeah, set this up? And then we have a few pages in there about like how speech is musical and how music is similar to speech and language. Mm-hmm. And just kind of the facts behind that, and showing others that like collaboration is good. Because I think there was some pushback, especially at that time. There was some like SLPs or it was just Asha that was kind of giving some pushback about, I think it was like CPT codes and coverage for insurance. And so there was a little bit of that going on. And so just to show that, like, no, we can coexist and we both are doing within our scope of practice.
Yeah.
And we're collaborating and we're creating these materials that are actually like going to really help the student because we've come from these two different backgrounds and educational experiences.
Yeah.
So then I contacted Asha and I was like, hey, I would love to do a blog post for you. Like,
that's
talk about
amazing.
Music therapy. Yeah. And they were so welcome to it. And awesome. I think just instead of getting the automatic thing being fear or automatic thing being like protective.
Yes.
I think if you just like genuinely reach out and be like, hey, I love speech language pathologists. I love collaborating. I don't want to step over my boundaries. Like, I want to yes. work alongside and with them as a team. Mm-hmm. And here's how we can do it. And here's like, so I made a blog post. It was like about the, like the collaboration do's and don'ts and how, yeah, the science behind music and language and how yes. we can coexist. And, yeah. and, so that was a really so fun great. Project. And, yeah. Yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah, and so needed. Like, that is, I think it's getting better. I think it was something. Yeah, it's growing. Where, yep. and I think that's part of even the mission of this podcast is talking to each other.
Yeah.
from different disciplines because we all overlap a little bit, and depending on the practitioner, like you guys, I feel like are great examples. You two of like you have this very intricate, you know, speech and language kind of background. And then, you know, maybe somebody else is a musician, but they're a speech mm-hmm. language pathologist. Like they're, right. your scope of practice is kind of a flexible thing depending on your background. So, you know, as long as we're cognizant of that or cognizant too of the language that we use, we're not like,
exactly.
you know, saying I'm a speech language pathologist, you know, like
exactly.
we're not saying that obviously, but like that serving that space, that in between is so important and so beneficial for our clients. Like,
yep.
All of that, like everything that you did, like it's coming back to the clients.
Exactly. Like what yeah. is best for that student? And
yes.
is it going to be best that if we just lock ourselves up in our own little worlds and not talk to each other? Or is it best that we share our expertise and what our strengths and gain strengths from other, you know,
yes.
fields? And I think it's super important. So it can be a touchy subject for some, but I do think that like, if we could just be a little bit more, open and making sure, you know, mm-hmm. like and there are those lines, like we are board certified music therapists, you know, like, but just to know that so many people have so much to offer and we can really learn from that.
Yeah. And yeah. I think if we don't have those conversations or if that information, like your blog post, if that's not out there, mm-hmm. those conversations aren't started, then we're more likely to overstep their boundaries. If you
yeah.
don't kind of have the, you know, this other
Correct.
Knowledge out there. Yeah.
And exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
yes.
yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. I'm going to link to that blog post too. Cause
that'll
oh,
yeah,
be so
yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send
yes,
you the link to
yeah.
that.
That's so great that they were so welcoming of like, yeah, let's do this, you know?
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, all I had to do is reach out and talk. And like, that's all that usually this comes down to is like
yes.
humans interacting with other, you know, like mm-hmm. humans and just being, yeah, civil about it and,
yeah.
and excited about it. And yeah, just making sure like they know your intentions and
yes, yes.
So I'll give you the link to that.
And totally, then, yeah.
And then I would also, before I forget too, I wanted to give you a link to anyone who's listening. Like I wanted to offer, I have an ebook. It's called How to Write an Ebook. And I
yes.
wanted to give that free to any of your listeners. I want to offer
awesome.
That as a freebie. Like you can link to that and just
because cool.
it's not about the money for me, you know, like
huh?
it's kind of tricky to talk about because I do want my authors to be fully compensated and I really want to support them in their work. That is
yes.
part of my job is running this website. But for like the ebooks that I do, like, you know, the How to Write an Ebook, it wasn't about making a profit from that. It was about just inspiring other people to,
yes.
to just sit down and write. So like I just want to give that to you for free to share
that
with people.
Awesome.
For free.
Yeah, so. I love that. And I just, it serves your, it just speaks on your whole mission so much that like, you have something to offer. You know, it's like, tell that imposter syndrome to like go sit in the back seat. It's not, you know, like everybody does have something unique to bring to the table. Yeah. Yeah.
And I love having the platform. Like that is just, I just want to be the cheerleader. Like I want my authors, like I said, to be, have their eBooks sold and other people can read them. But I just want to be their cheerleader. Like I just kind of want to step out on the sidelines and just be like, yes, all right, you got this eBook. I'm going to sell it for you. I'm so proud of you. And the eBooks, our tagline is like, buy, sell, and create. So that's one aspect of it. Like having, people sell their eBooks and then, encouraging other people to buy those eBooks and learn from those people. And then the third aspect being create, like, how can I help you create? Like, how can I help you sit down and like just funnel all that energy and all those songs that into a package and that you can share with the world? So,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it really like, I feel like talking, especially to students or interns, like, you know, everybody's background is so different. And I think sometimes as a student, an intern, a new professional, like you kind of feel like, oh, I have to like be in kind of in this box, but you can take all of the stuff that you have that's unique and it's going to be helpful for somebody else. You know, somebody else needs to hear that at some point.
Exactly. And sometimes I feel like we get so, I don't know, we identify so much with a certain, like a behavioral or a humanistic approach or whatever like that. Like if we can just kind of step back and be like, I think I can learn from every single approach, like, and that's going to make me a well-rounded music therapist.
Yes.
I think those are important things to keep in mind too. So.
Yeah. And depending too, I feel like, you know, you can really identify with different types of, you know, the approaches or if it's eclectic, but depending on where you work or depending on your client, it may demand that you have to step out of that or they need something else. And I feel like we're working with so many different clients. The populations that we serve are huge.
Yes.
So that having that, you know, of like knowing it's coming back to your client of like, well, my client might need more behavioral stuff. So let me dive into it.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. So. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. That's so exciting. The, how to write an ebook. I love that title too.
Oh, good. Yeah, exactly. Cause I was titling it and I was like, how do I do this? And then I was like, I'm just going to embrace it.
Yeah.
Put a little ellipses in there and then
go with it. Ebook. Yes. Yeah. dot, 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 ebook. Yeah. and I love that creation too of, it's something I think, in this, like for part of my podcast is such a mission too of talking to people about their creativity and how, you know, like we were saying earlier, like your job might not always serve that creativity outlet. And maybe it's that you're going and performing outside of, you know, or maybe it is that, you know, you're going and you're doing artwork, even if you're a music therapist, it might be something like some other creative thing.
Absolutely.
But I think we don't talk about these opportunities as much of like, you know, blogging or writing an ebook and like those can be really creative. Making websites is like so much fun.
It's so fun. I'm glad you agree. I love it so much.
There's something really satisfying about it of just like getting everything in the right place. And too, I think like you had mentioned this earlier of knowing the kind of person you are, if you're more of an introvert, then maybe you can feed your creativity monster in something that's behind a computer or like, you know, and I think some people get lost in how do I serve that? You know, what are my options in serving that?
Exactly. Yeah. That it really appeals to those kind of aspects of my personality. And I think a lot of other therapists too, just because we are interacting face to face with people a lot all day. Like there's something really comforting about sitting at your computer. Like, I mean, it's sad. I don't want to make it sound like it's like, I'm just staring at my computer for fun, but like, it's, I don't know, like it's relaxing. It doesn't have that like social anxiety that comes with, you know, interacting with people or like performing on stage or something like that. Like that terrifies me.
I
don't want to do that, but like to sit down and just kind of relax and just not talk to anyone and do something on the computer, but still feel part of a community and still feel like I'm making a difference and still feel like I'm, like using this inspiration in a creative way that, that's very satisfying.
Yeah. And that you're still like serving a part, you know, you're serving a purpose. And, and I think too, I think Rachel Rambach had a book about introverts. Yeah. And there's kind of like this bigger thing coming out of like, if you're more introverted and like, what do you do? And it's already a field that demands that flexibility because we're so face to face all the time. We're in meetings and sometimes it requires that you're doing a therapeutic performance in front of a lot of people. And,
exactly.
But for people who are more introverted, knowing that there's other ways to serve your creativity that is fun, you know, behind a computer or
And safe. It feels safe.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. I'm like, yes, time to sit down. There's no interruptions. Yeah. I can just like, it's like, you almost don't have to be on, you know, like when it's as an introvert, it's like, okay, I can kind of like relax a little bit more and just do whatever.
Yep, exactly. Yes. There aren't these like rules I have to follow to, and use so much energy because I do love interacting with people, but like at conferences, like it's like, oh, I just used all my energy in 1 hour. Like I have to go back to my hotel room and just like,
hide under the pillow for half an hour and then I can come back out.
Yep.
So, it's so helpful to know that. I think, I wish there was, at least in my schooling, I wish there was something more earlier on that was like reflective about like, where are you on, you know, the, you know, on that, you know, scale or, you know, if it's the Myers-Briggs or something like that, like learning more about yourself. Cause I think it serves so much knowing those intricacies of what kind of job is going to best serve you.
Oh, absolutely. Just the knowledge of it is very powerful. Like, I mean, like I didn't know why, in high school I would have panic attacks. I didn't know. I thought it was, I had a heart condition I know. And they took me to a heart specialist.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't find anything. I was like, but I swear I'm having to pull over on the side of the road or like, I feel like I'm going to faint. And so, just having that diagnosis, like when I was 22 of like, oh, you have, generalized anxiety disorder. And it's like, oh, just like it clicked. Like it makes so much sense. And you can now plan accordingly to how you interact with people and like how much energy you know you're going to need. And, just the knowledge of it is like just, game changer. So
It's so funny. I have the same thing. And it was, it was that whole, like, as soon as I was like, oh, that's why I like it, there's no pattern. It's just like everything. And, but it does help. So like once there was that like understanding of like, oh, okay, now how can I adjust my expectations of work? And, you know, like how can I, and then how does my self-care go into all of that of,
absolutely, you
know, how can I serve that? And I used to think too, like growing up, it was the same thing. I could not perform like auditions. Yeah. Oh. I didn't get into school. I didn't get into music school. Like I was shut down and I was like, okay, music isn't for me. Like I literally thought I couldn't do anything music related. And
it's heartbreaking. Yeah,
it is. I know. And I want to like go reach out to like all those, like those kids. It's like, you can do something. Like music therapy is a great place. Music, you know, education, like you don't have to be a performer. And that, you know, this other space is so important too.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And just that one-on-one aspect, or even when I was doing music therapy groups, like it just felt so different and felt so right. Like it was like, oh, I'm not all the attention's on me and I don't want the attention on me. Like I want, I'm using this as a tool and as, so it just felt right. And like you said, like with the music performance, like that's just not my thing.
Yes. Yes, totally. And it's exciting to hear. Actually Chris, I think his last name is Millet. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Oh yeah.
Make More Music. His podcast that just came out. I am so excited for that. Like, I want to like run to every high school and be like, every musician, please listen to this. Yes, there's so many options. It's not just music performing or music education.
Ed. Exactly. That's exactly right. That is a really good point. And that, yeah, he's talked to some really cool, like, I think it was like some engineers, and I know he talked to Tim Ringgold, and just the wide variety that exists.
Yes.
It's really cool to see. So,
and how like your personality, you know, all of that stuff, you can maximize on that in a particular setting.
Yeah.
Like you're in a particular job.
Exactly.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I've been totally, totally loving his episode. So I keep telling him, like, you have to do an ethnomusicologist. It's like my dream job. And I was like, it would just be so cool to hear. So I sent him that. So hopefully, like, I'm waiting for it, Chris. I'm calling you out now.
That sounds
like,
awesome.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Let's start a hashtag now.
Yes. Just waiting for it. It's probably going to be really hard to find. I don't really know how, like, finding an ethnomusicologist, but he's probably got all the connections to do that.
Oh, too. Yeah. So, yes. At a university. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Go find a professor somewhere. Somebody's doing it.
Exactly.
This has been so awesome. As we're wrapping up, can you tell our listeners if people have more questions about, you know, collaboration, about ebooks, about anything, where's the best place to reach you? Let us know where to find you.
Sure. So I'll just say too, if you are interested in creating the ebook or selling an ebook, I would just email me at rachel@musictherapyebooks.com because I want the authors to know that I didn't really talk about this yet, but if you're an author on the ebook site, you own 100% of your ebook. I don't want to own it. Like, I want to promote it and I want to sell it for you. And I want to I'm going to write newsletters and, you know, run the website and that kind of thing. But like, I want you to know that, like, that is your ebook. And even if I have a sale, like a 50% off sale or something like that, you're going to get the full percentage of your ebook. Like, I just want to know, like, I'm going to protect your materials and they are yours. And I'm just here to promote it and give you a space to have it. Feel free to contact me if you're interested in that. And then other places like Twitter, I think I'm @musicebook. I think so. Exactly. On Instagram, the most is @musictherapyebooks. And then I'm also on Facebook, not as much. I feel like Instagram is, I don't know, I just really like the visual aspect of Instagram.
Same.
And it's a really fun place to see what other people are doing and sharing. Yes. And it seems to be a pretty positive place.
I really
like spending my time on Instagram. But I'm available all those different platforms.
Awesome.
If I reach out or collaborate or talk or just want to talk about, I don't know. Like, I really like fried pickles. So if you want to talk about fried pickles, we can talk about that.
That's right. I remember reading that on one of your blog posts like years ago. This girl is cut from the same cloth as me.
Right. And now that I'm pregnant, like, it's like all I want all the time.
Already, I feel like pickles is one of those like trigger foods for if you're pregnant and then you add fried on top of it.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So. I waitressed for like the longest time. And this one diner that I worked at was so great. And the owner was the cook, and he was so incredibly creative, and he'd come up with all these creative burgers. And he had a burger that was like, had everything on it. It was so good. And on the top were two giant fried pickles. And
what
I was
a delight.
Like, you can't top this now.
I love this man.
That's awesome. He's great. Hey, Steve. That's awesome. So good. But creativity comes in all forms. It's everywhere.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
You can be creative with your fried pickles. Well, Rachel, thank you again so much for being here. This was just so wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Kate, for having me. Likewise, it's been really nice talking to you.
Yes. It was so lovely talking with Rachel, and she is so passionate about creating a space for music therapists to be creative. And if you are interested in creating an ebook, definitely check out that free download in the show notes. Reach out to Rachel. I can only imagine the wonderful support that she gives all of her authors in promoting their materials and getting your knowledge out there, because there really are people that need to hear it, and you have a unique thing to offer to the community. So go do it. Go be creative. If you are looking for a way to support the podcast, one of the best ways that you can do that is to go on to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review and give us a rating. Subscribe to the podcast there if you can. This really helps the podcast become more visible for other listeners. So it's super helpful. It's very, very simple, but very effective in going in and writing a review and leaving a rating for us, because then when people search for different terms like music therapy, creative arts therapy, art therapy, therapy in general, our podcast will pop up and become a resource for them. And that really serves our whole mission in getting more knowledge out there about the creative arts therapies and providing that support for people who are looking for it. Thank you again for listening, and be creative.